I would like to call to order and make introductions of our budget committee, and we can start down here with Janice.
Janice Respect, Budget Officer.
Lauren Goddard, Citizen Volunteer.
Doug Hunt, County Commissioner.
Linda Roy, Citizen Member, Volunteer, yeah.
Terry County Commissioner.
John Baird, Citizen Volunteer.
Bill Hall, Commissioner.
At this time, we will begin the nomination process for the Lincoln County Budget Committee officers. Do I hear a nomination for the chair?
I nominate Lauren Goddard.
Do I hear a second?
A second.
Okay, that does it?
We have to vote.
Oh, we have to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, there we go. Okay, next one, for secretary. Do I hear a nomination for the secretary of the budget committee?
He's chair.
Actually, he should.
Oh, okay, pass the gavel. Wait, don't forget this.
We're gonna do it right, by golly.
I did the same thing last night. I want you to know.
Now entertaining nominations for secretary.
I nominate John for the secretary.
I'll second that.
There's been a nomination, John for secretary, John Baird for secretary. All those in favor signify by show of hands or aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, John.
Congratulations, both.
I'm not very organized tonight.
Sorry about that.
Okay, meeting of the Lincoln County Animal Services District Budget Committee to present the budget message and to take public comment on the Lincoln County Animal Services District budget for fiscal year 2017-18. And that will be presented by the Budget Officer Janice Reisbeck and Laura Braxley.
Okay, this is on page 253 in your budget. I'll read the budget message. This budget portrays the expected financial performance of the Lincoln County Animal Services District for fiscal year 2017-18 and shows the operations of the district. The district was approved by voters in the general election of November 2012 with a tax rate of 11 cents per thousand of assessed value. This permanent tax rate replaced the 11 cent per thousand of assessed value five-year operating levy that was passed in 2010. In conformance with Oregon Revised Statutes, Chapter 294, this budget is balanced between its revenue and expenditures. The district is budgeted using the modified accrual basis of accounting, recording revenues at the time they become measurable and available to finance expenditures of the current period, and recording expenditures at the time the liabilities are incurred. Significant revenues include property taxes, dog license fees, and other animal shelter fees. No major changes in financial policies are anticipated for this fiscal year. The district is organized into one general operating fund appropriated by the categories of personnel services, materials and services, capital outlay, contingency, and ending balance. The district's general fund contains two program departments, one for the activities related to animal control, and the second for the operation of the animal shelter. The 2017-18 budget is $16,370 less than the prior year's budget. The fund's contingency is estimated at $241,529 for the 2017-18 fiscal year. The district's ending balance is comprised of this contingency and a reserve for compensated absences of $22,153. The combined ending balance is 23% of the total fund. Respectfully submitted, Janice Respect. If the committee has questions, Laura Braxling is here representing the animal shelter, Curtis Landers, our sheriff, and Adam Shanks, the lieutenant, are here who could possibly address animal control issues. So if you have any questions, take it away.
I think I know the answer, but I'll ask the question. When you look at the current property tax line items for both the animal control and animal shelter funds, the animal control tax revenues go up, and the current year property tax revenues for the animal shelter go down. But when you total the two funds, there's actually an increase. So I'm assuming that the taxes were just allocated differently in the current budget proposal versus last year.
Yeah. So this year there's going to be, it's a 60-40 split.
And in the past it's been?
65-35.
Okay. So it's just a change in the allocation. Because I figured if it went up in one fund, it'd go up in the other. But not if it's allocated differently. Okay. That's the only question I have.
I have a question related to contingency fund.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand right, you're about 18% of your budget is contingency fund. Is that right?
Sure. Whatever that math works out to be. I don't have a calculator in front of me, but yes.
Yeah. So that's a good contingency fund. I was curious, what kind of things, I see you had a surplus this time. Do you anticipate that out of the next budget?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're able to operate in a way where the revenue is higher than what our expenses are. And, you know, I guess eventually with it's really the cost of personnel that ends up being more of the increase. So we're trying to be able to, you know, live within this, you know, whatever the tax revenue is for as long as possible.
One of the things that usually happens to contingency funds is you get hit with maintenance costs and things like that.
We are going to need a new shelter at some point.
But
that's also, I don't think that the tax revenue is going to be the answer to that and the way that it is right now. Right.
But since you are in an older building, I was wondering about possible expenditures on repairs and things like that to catch you. Is there anything big out there that?
There are. I mean that, but at this point, I mean we do have a leaky roof. There are some, you know, there are a lot of kind of water damage things that are happening. But it's the question, you know, between facilities management and with the sheriff and with all of you, of how much money do we put into a building that we're hoping not to be in the long term. So we make repairs as we can, and we have some companies and you know that have been very generous in helping us do small patches that are reasonable. There's electrical issues that are in the older building that's been there since 1965. With the road department has been doing some, I'm not exactly sure what it is that they're doing up there, but it shakes the ground, and so there actually is now cracks in our building because of that. Our building's a mess.
So, are you doing nuclear testing at the road department?
We're like, oh, please stop the shaking of the ground. So there's some major issues, but I think I don't think the patchwork of trying to fix our building is the best long-term solution.
Okay. Yes. You answered my question. You're adequate. You think.
I have a whole slideshow I can show you.
Probably would be good for us to see that sometime.
Okay.
I would add that a lot of the maintenance on that building, because it is county owned, is picked up by the general fund.
Okay. You answered my question. Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions or discussion on this?
Pretty straightforward.
Okay. Are we ready to move on then? Thank you. Meeting of the Lincoln County Extension Service District Budget Committee to present the budget message and to take public comment on the Extension Service District Budget for fiscal year 2017-2018. And that will be presented by Budget Officer Katie Jacobson.
Hello. Am I reading, Janice, or are you reading?
You may read it.
Okay. All right. This budget document for 2017-2018 in compliance with ORS 241391 is hereby submitted to the Budget Committee in accordance with the direction of the Board of Commissioners, the Extension Advisory Council, and the Oregon State University Fiscal Department. The revenues for the district come from the tax base passed November 8, 1998, of $115,265 with the passage of ballot measure 50. In 1997, the tax base was converted to a rate system, and the tax base was declared null and void. The Lincoln County Extension Services rate per thousand is 0.0451. Additional funding not shown in this budget that helps sustain other programs come from OSU service fees, sales of publications, and grants. Resources. Revenues from current year taxes are expected to contribute $290,000 for general operating budget for the coming fiscal year 2017-2018. We have put in place provisions for up to $16,500 per year in miscellaneous grants by faculty to enable them to enhance programs for county residents. We have committed to maintaining a reserve fund to help pay a portion of the lease payments to the county for the new building by setting aside $170,000, which will progressively fund $10,000 annually towards lease payments for the next 17 years. A grand total of $770,233 is projected to come from all revenue sources available to the district for the fiscal year 2017-2018. Personnel services will provide for 3 support staff at a total of 1.22 FTE and 1 administrative faculty support at 0.65 FTE. We have provided budget adjustments for expected step increases, salary increases, and cost of living adjustments for fiscal year 2017-2018. There are also provisions for other payroll expenses, OPE benefits for all personnel. The Extension Service District had implemented cost-saving measures by not replacing a 1.0 FTE for 3/4 of the fiscal year 2015-2016 and for the full fiscal year of 2016-2017. Replacement of these positions in 2017-2018 through a reduced FTEs is critical to serve our constituents. The 2017-2018 budget includes a 0.33 FTE funded forestry / ag position based in Lincoln County and a 0.53 FTE educational program assistant to support Sea Grant and Master Gardener programs. The total budget for personal services and inclusive of OPE is $179,879. Miscellaneous grant revenues are budgeted to provide personnel services and OPE at $17,400, which is offset by carryover grant funds from 2016-2017. The materials and services budget represents our best estimate of the cost for the next year. In fiscal year 2017-2018, we have budgeted $51,500 per year for annual lease payments to the county for the new facility. We have also budgeted $5,000 for furniture and equipment to complete the front office upgrade. Miscellaneous grant expenses are projected at $5,000 and $12,400 for shop at the dock grant. Total contractual services, inclusive of personnel services, are projected at $522,433. Total material and services are projected at $600,233, which includes the lease payment. Unappropriate ending balance are estimated to be $170,000 to be allocated as reserve funds for future building lease payments for the period 2018-2033. The total proposed budget is $770,233. Consideration is given to all items to provide education facility quality programs within the scope of ORS 294305. to 294.565. The district uses the modified accrual accounting system in compliance with the method used for OSU Extension Service.
Okay. Any questions? I actually have one on the shop, the doc grant. Mm-hmm. Could you, one, describe that program a little bit? I have a pretty good idea of what it is, but I like the details. And I am curious, too, as to why this hasn't appeared as a budget item previously.
Okay, I'll start with the why it wasn't in the budget previously. So this will be going this summer, will be our fourth year doing this program. The first 2 years we did it, it was pretty loose, if that makes sense from a programmatic perspective. It didn't cost us any money. We had Ruby Moon at the time that was part-time with Oregon Sea Grant, and she was able to do the program kind of on her own. It didn't really cost anything. The program grew in popularity. And starting last year, we needed money to keep up with it because we had 60 to 70 people show up at a time for the program, which one person and even two people, including myself, cannot keep up with that. That's too many people on the dock at one time. So we had to basically get resources to hire staff to help lead those programs and also increase advertising and like shirts for our staff to wear and that sort of stuff. So that's why it wasn't in there previously, because we didn't really need money to run it until it kind of grew in popularity, and then we did. The grant we got last year was from Lincoln County Economic Development Alliance. They gave us some money for that program. I have a little bit of, I might have a little bit of carryover. I might spend it before the end of this year, and then we're hoping to get some additional funds, probably not from the same source, to kind of continue this program this year.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it's.
I didn't really address what it is. So what it is we basically have the public come down. Most of it's actually local people that come down. We basically teach them how to buy seafood directly from fishermen or selling it. So that's the basis for the program.
So, Katie, you talked about personnel services and the total budget for personnel services, inclusive of other personnel expense, is $179,897. I assume that when we look at the budget on page 262, that's included under contractual services? Since it's not broken out separately, I assume it's basically through a contract with OSU.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, the direct personnel costs are paid by OSU, and the property tax distribution that goes through contractual services reimburses OSU for those costs.
Yeah. I should make note that most of our personnel costs actually come from other sources, not from this service district.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Meeting of the Lincoln County Solid Waste Disposal Service District Budget Committee to present the budget message and to take public comment on the Lincoln County Solid Waste Disposal Service District budget for fiscal year 2017-2018, presented by Budget Officer Janice Riesbeck and Mark Salins.
Page 249 of your budget is where the budget message starts, and Mark was unable to attend, and Roy Kinney is standing in his stead. So, the Lincoln County Solid Waste Disposal Service District, formed in accordance with Oregon Revised Statutes, Chapter 451, presents its annual budget for fiscal year 2017-18. This budget is balanced between its revenue and expenditures as prescribed under ORS Chapter 294 Local Budget Law. The district's functions are to coordinate solid waste management planning throughout the county, to implement waste reduction, to foster recycling education and promotion programs, and to coordinate illegal dumping enforcement, prevention, and cleanup. The district budget is comprised of one general operating fund accounted for by the modified accrual basis of accounting, recording revenue at the time it becomes measurable and available to finance expenditures for the period, and recording expenditures at the time the liabilities are incurred. This fund is classified as an enterprise fund, relying on a $4 per ton surcharge on Lincoln County waste disposed as its main revenue source. The district's general fund is organized into two departments, one to provide for general district programs, level one services, and the other enables increased forest enforcement activities funded as a cooperative public-private effort through the district, the county sheriff's department, and the Association of Concerned Landowners. Level 2 services. The fund is appropriated by the expenditure categories of personal services, materials and services, capital outlay, contingency, and ending balance. There are no major changes in financial policies anticipated in this fiscal year. Level 1 services include personnel services and materials and services funded by the tonnage surcharge. Level 2 services include the contractual agreement between the district, the Lincoln County Sheriff's Department, and the concerned landowners for a full-time deputy assigned to rural forest enforcement duty, responsible for forest patrol and investigation on public and private lands, as well as assistance with supervision of cleanup crews and community education related to illegal dumping. The program continues to be funded by a combination of district resources, dues assessed to members by the Association of Concerned Landowners of Lincoln County, the County General Fund, and a grant from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. The Association of Concerned Landowners includes timber companies, public agencies responsible for forest management, and small woodland owners. The County General Fund is providing a portion of the Forest Patrol deputies' costs, plus additional Sheriff's Department administrative costs. The 2017-18 budget is $24,700, or 7% more than the prior year's budget. The increase stems from an anticipated increase in personnel costs and a larger amount appropriated for contingency. The district's ending balance is comprised of $4,489 reserved for compensated absences and a contingency of $62,167. The combined contingency and ending balance is 18% of the total fund. So, submitted by Janice Respect, Budget Officer.
Thank you, Janice.
I have one.
Okay.
When you read the message,
I handed out tonight revised documents. There was a last minute change in this budget. We added some appropriation to materials and services, an additional $18,000 to complete a grant project that we thought would be completed this year but is being carried over to next year, which then reduced the contingency appropriation somewhat, and then of course.
Yeah, and that's actually the county's match to the DEP grant for $18,000. So for a total of $36,000 for that, and that's the materials management plan that they will be working on then.
Okay. Well, that explains that. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
meeting of the Lincoln County Transportation Service District Budget Committee to present the budget message and to take public comment on the Transportation Service District budget for fiscal year 2017-2018, presented by Budget Officer Janice Griesbeck and Cinda Bruce.
This is on page 244 in your document. This budget portrays the expected financial performance of the Lincoln County Transportation Service District for fiscal year 2017-18 and shows the operations of the district. The district formed in May 1996 as approved by voters in the general election. A tax rate of 9.74 cents per thousand of assessed value was approved in the November 1996 general election. In conformance with Oregon Revised Statutes, Chapter 294, this budget is balanced between its revenue and expenditures. The district is budgeted using the modified accrual basis of accounting, recording revenues at the time they become measurable and available to finance expenditures of the current period and recording expenditures at the time liabilities are incurred. Significant revenues include property taxes and federal and state grants. There are no major changes in financial policies anticipated in this fiscal year. The district is organized into one general operating fund appropriated by the categories of personnel services, materials and services, capital outlay, contingency and ending balance. The 2017-18 budget is $441,689 less than the prior year's budget. The decrease, 8.6% under the current budget, stems primarily from a decrease in planned capital expenditures. The fund's contingency is estimated at $385,000 for the 2017-18 year, with the reserve for future years of $1,003,467 and a compensated absence reserve of $104,631. The district's ending balance is estimated at $1,108,098. This amount is 23.8% of the total fund. Submitted by Janice Riesbeck, Budget Officer.
So, Cinda, under revenue, there are three services, Newport Services, Lincoln City Services, Tribal Service Fees. Can you explain what those are, how they're determined? And I noticed the tribe is substantially bigger, roughly $260,000.
The tribe has access to tribal transit funding, which are federal grants. Much like the federal grants that I receive. Along with those grants come a lot of compliance and requirements. So I think that the tribe chooses to enhance the current services that are going on rather than starting a new service, since all of our requirements are already in place and we meet those. Like when we have our site reviews, when the tribe has their federal site reviews, I will go out there because basically we provide the service and I have all of our Title VI information, our drug and alcohol policies, our ADA and a multitude of other things that are required. So we've been partnering for
Sure seems like a number of years. Let's see.
A long time.
It's maybe 5 years, maybe.
I'm thinking longer than that, because I was a pretty new commissioner still when this started, and I'm in year 13, so.
Yeah, so like I worked 10 years just to build a relationship with the tribe, and we have a great partnership going. We work together on the services that they would like to see. We've made an agreement that tribal members can write our system showing their tribal ID, which makes it a lot more palatable for the grant funding requirements, because they still must report on this funding. I give them the statistics and they do their separate reporting. With the city of Newport, that started some years ago when the city of Newport was having some parking issues, which they're having a parking study done now. It's still an issue, but we've tried to do what we could to assist. And in fact, next week I have a meeting with Spencer Neville to see if anything has come out of the parking study that we may need to modify our services for. But at this time, I have budgeted at the same level as I did last year. If there are modifications that require more funding, those will be amended up. If they decide on modifications that require less funding, of course, I won't spend more money than the revenues will allow. The city of Lincoln City provides more in-kind type services. So you see the different amounts, but they all have their own way of support that makes it an even playing field. In Lincoln City, I get a lot of assistance as far as infrastructure, like the bus shelters.
You and I have had a few discussions on those.
We have, yes. And Lincoln City came to me recently and asked if there was any way I could assist in replacing 8 of their bus shelters, because they are not ADA accessible. So we want to be compliant with ADA issues, of course. And fortunately, I was able to find a grant a few months ago that will allow us to replace those 8 shelters. Now, what the city of Lincoln City will do is they will construct the shelters and they will maintain the shelters. So, which makes it doable, because that's a lot of work. Is even like the couple we have in Newport, we have some issues with.
I think obviously there's different ways to work with these different communities, and certainly I think the numbers also reflect the good relationship we have with the tribes. So
we work real hard.
It's good information. Thank you.
You bet. For the most part, I've kept the status quo budget, as you can see. There is some equipment in here that wasn't in there last year, and that's actually going to replace our radio system. Last year, I was able to do grants and replace our video surveillance system on the buses. This year, I was able to find a grant to replace our radio system to make it digital, but most importantly, hands-free. So that's a safety issue that's very important to me, that our drivers be able to concentrate on the road and not worry about where's the mic at. We're also going to be getting another bus lift for for our buses, which actually will benefit other departments as well. So that's always good when we can do something that's beneficial to more than just our department. And we're getting a cherry picker also, because the maintenance department has begun doing much more detailed, like, rehab work for us than they have in the past, which keeps our buses on safer and on the road longer. So it's a good thing.
Any further questions?
I mean, Cinda, I watch your buses an awful lot. Uh-oh. Every time I see one, I think, there goes Cinda.
Oh, no. You're like, yours will go to you.
Yeah. But what seems to me is I'm seeing more and more buses more often. And I'm not spending that much time on the road. Is it an accurate observation of mine that you're getting a whole lot of miles out there?
Oh, yes. We put just under 600,000 miles a year on our vessels. And, you know, I suppose I should tell you that we just got two new Dial-A-Ride buses and two new City Loop buses. And we are going for smaller vehicles that will be able to maneuver more easily and get into some of the more isolated places in our cities. And they are not diesel. We switched to gas so that they're quieter for the neighborhoods. So we're hoping that that it's going to bring down our costs and make the ride for the passengers a little easier. And it's just kind of a pilot project that we're trying, but we're hoping that it's going to be beneficial for the communities.
Any further questions?
No, I would just like to make a statement. I always think that you provide a tremendous service to our transportation system. I think you've worked really diligently and hard, and so it's greatly appreciated.
Thank you so much. And I would also like to thank Lauren and Linda and John for the time that they put on this committee. This, the time that you volunteered.
You're welcome. And thank you. Message from the Board of Commissioners. Are we reading that in its entirety tonight?
Traditionally we have, if that's everybody's desire.
Always a pleasure to listen to your dulcet songs.
Here we go. The Board of Commissioners, with the assistance of the County Management Team, presents a balanced budget for fiscal year 2017-18. Although prudent management continues to guide our spending decisions, we are pleased to continue making strategic investments in people and resources that will help us to better fulfill our county mission statement, quote, to provide essential public services, both legally required and locally desired, in an efficient, effective, and respectful manner. Although Lincoln County's economy continues to show encouraging signs of recovery, with unemployment at a record low, many of our revenue sources remain static or are only showing minimal growth. We, as a county, need to continue to operate as leanly and efficiently as possible, balancing economic unknowns, limited resources, and the need to deliver quality services to the residents of our county. Our auditors suggest we should have 3 to 4 months' worth of general fund operating dollars in reserve to help cushion future downturns. We dipped as low as a one-month reserve in the worst of the recession. This budget continues our commitment to increase those reserves. Among the investments proposed in this budget are a new position in community corrections to allow supervision of domestic violence offenders, the addition of a school resource officer in partnership with the Lincoln County School District, new positions in facilities and maintenance and information technology, and purchase of body cameras for sheriff's deputies. Amidst all the recent economic challenges, there are many encouraging signs for Lincoln County, and we remain convinced that our long-term future is bright. The expansion of NOAA's presence, a major growth of the student presence at the OSU Hatfield Marine Science Center, the completion of the Highway 20 project, the new Toledo boat lift, and 2 new hospitals being funded are just some of the most prominent signs of positive community activity and growth. Signs are less clear and less positive in Salem and Washington, D.C. As this is being written, the state legislature is wrestling with a $1.6 billion deficit, and the federal budget process in Washington appears even more fluid than usual. Because many county-delivered services are supported with state and federal dollars, we will be monitoring this situation closely, but we don't have enough firm information to make any adjustments in this budget document. We want to close this message with further acknowledgement and thanks for our staff. They are truly the heart of the organization. We salute the intelligence, energy, and integrity they bring to serving the people of Lincoln County. Respectfully submitted, Lincoln County Board of Commissioners.
Thank you. The budget message, Janice Respect, Budget Officer.
This budget document portrays the expected financial performance of Lincoln County for fiscal year 2017-18. In conformance with Oregon revised statutes, the budget appropriates the operations of the general fund on a program basis. The three appropriation programs are general government operations, public safety, and community services. Each main program has various departments within it that are shown by the categories of personnel services, materials and services, capital outlay, and special payments. The remaining funds of the county are appropriated by the categories personnel services, materials and services, and capital outlay. Additionally, all funds include separate appropriations for debt service, transfers, and contingency where applicable. Special reserve balances and unappropriated ending balances are included where needed. All funds are presented as balanced between revenue and expenditures as required by Oregon Revised Statutes, Chapter 294. This document is organized on a fund basis. The first section of the book contains introductory material plus countywide information. The general fund is presented in its own section, grouped by its appropriation categories, with the individual departments for each category grouped together. The general fund is followed by the health and human services funds. There are three funds in this section representing public health treatment and educational activities, mental health service activities, and the primary care health center's operations. The Health and Human Services Fund section is followed by the remaining funds, which comprise the additional activities of the county, including road and bridge maintenance, county commons, fairgrounds operations, maintenance and improvement, and various other functions that the county is responsible for. These funds are arranged by their program and activity departments. The next section of this document contains the budget documents of the several special districts that we just talked about, which the county, within the county, that are component units of the county's financial system. The final section is reference material containing the county's various employee pay plans and a complete position listing for all paid county positions. County funds are budgeted and accounted for on the modified accrual basis of a county. Revenues are recorded at the time they become measurable and available to finance expenditures of the current period, and expenditures are recorded at the time liabilities are incurred, except for interfund transactions, which are recorded on the accrual basis. No major changes in financial policies are anticipated in this fiscal year. Property tax revenue is the single biggest source of revenue for the county. The county's permanent tax rate remains at $2.8202 per thousand of assessed valuation. Other major revenues include intergovernmental revenue, grants and payments received from federal, state, and other local governments, a 10% transient room tax, permits and fees charged for specific activities in the county, and charges for services, amounts charged for direct service provided by the county. The 2017-18 budget totals $99,448,502, an increase from the current year of $3,631,791. This 3.8% increase stems mainly from general increases in operational costs. The combined countywide contingency and reserve categories amount to $23,584,906, which is 23.7% of the total county budget. In the general fund, personnel services are increasing by $1,694,663, a 7% increase over the current budget. Materials and services are increasing by 5.2% or $428,692. And capital outlay is decreasing $253,200 or 14.8% from the 2016-17 fiscal year. The combined contingency and reserve categories for the general fund for fiscal year 2017-18 are estimated at $5,773,091, 14% of the total fund. Respectfully submitted by Janice Reese, Budget Officer.
Thank you. Discussion of the budget document.
We're not in a bucket, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Good.
I want to talk about something that may happen, and it involves a change in revenue for our public safety. There's rumors, we have had no official notification, that Benton County may be canceling their contract with Lincoln County for 20 jail beds. This is a $645,000 revenue that we've been budgeting, and if it goes away, then we will need to reduce our budget by $645,000 in the general fund. We have a plan developed to do that reduction if necessary, but as yet we have no official word from Benton County. Curtis Landers, our sheriff, is here if you have any particular questions regarding that.
Good evening. Curtis Landers, Lincoln County Sheriff.
Good evening. Thank you. Any questions?
So, can you explain, what is that agreement?
The agreement is for Benton County has been renting jail beds, 20 jail beds from us for several years now, and it's become apparent that they are in, as Janice put it, rumors. We're not getting any really direct contact with what they're doing. We're finding a lot of our information out through the media. One source of the media indicated that they were trying to reduce their costs and still be able to rent 20 beds, and that they may be looking at another facility up the Columbia River Gorge part called Norport to rent their jail beds from. At a reduced rate, we charge just a little over $90 per inmate per day per bed, and their cost that they're trying to do is $70. I tried to find out from the sheriff over there, and I actually sent an email yesterday, tried to call, I'm not getting any response to what's going on. The last I heard from him is that it's likely that they'll be canceling the agreement July 1 this year. So this came to our attention after the county MT meetings, so it wasn't part of that discussion at that point. So
when you say rent the beds, does that mean that they are sending inmates from their county over here for you to house them?
Yeah, the jail holds 161 inmates. 20 of those beds are for Benton County inmates.
They're set aside for them.
Correct. And just some clarification, how that, you know, it's not as easy as just, we get rid of the revenue and we reduce it by 20 beds. The way that facility was built and designed and how it's efficiently run now, if we lost that revenue, we'd have to close two pods and we'd actually reduce our jail beds from 161 to 57. So it would be a substantial reduction and of the jail beds for our facility if we just lost that revenue. And that's mainly based on facility design. It was back in 1992 or 91 when it was designed and then built in 92. The group wanted it built next to the courthouse for convenience, taking inmates across there. And in order to do that, you had to build a three-story facility. And you know now that a one-story facility where you basically put the control center in the middle and have what they call pies off to the side is much more efficient to run. And then you can just reduce the number easier than you can with the current facility that they have now. So if hindsight would have been, you know, obviously hindsight's 2020, we would have known that a lot of things would be video arraignment and we wouldn't have a lot of movement going back and forth. You know, it might not have been as big a deal to move the facility outside.
Thank you.
I think there have been, I know you've had some discussions with Janice and I believe Council Belmont about there are some things that we think we are considering to mitigate this, I guess, potential loss. Can you just talk in general terms about that?
One of the positions that we were trying to get a new position was a security and project manager position for the county. Currently, we have two correction sergeants, and one of them has basically taken on that role over the last few years and has done a lot of work around the county with cameras and video systems and courthouse security and the Prox access, all the car locks, and several different projects that he's kind of taken on. And over the years, we've kind of lost that supervision in the jail. We've kind of, you know, he estimates 50%. I think it's probably more than the time and that he spends on it. So we proposed a new position for a security and project manager position to be a civilian position, not, and basically put his role back in as a corrections sergeant position and have another position for that. That was agreed upon at the M team to bring to you, but that's one of the positions that we're talking about eliminating. Because of that, to reduce, that's about 100,000 of the 600 and roughly 45,000 that we have to make up. Another part we've discussed is right now we have several open positions between patrol and the jail as far as deputies, and to keep two of those positions on the book, so to speak, but not fill them as we go. And I think naturally that will probably happen because I don't think we've been full staff for very long over the last several years because of just a lot of retirements. We actually have three retirements after July probably coming up in the jail alone. So while I don't like that, you know, positions are there for a reason, and you know, overtime costs and a lot of other things will go with that. But you know, that's probably a workable solution over the next year while we try to determine a solution, because this kind of came about quickly. I will say that, you know, our team is working on coming up with additional solutions. We knew that Benton County was probably, they've been looking at constructing a new jail. It hasn't passed, but they've been putting it on the ballot to build a new jail. We've been thinking that their agreement was going to go away anyhow. So over this next year, one of the things I was going to do as a new sheriff was look at ways that we can get those beds back for Lincoln County anyhow. Matrixing over the last 5 years has just gone straight up. If you look at a graph, it was 600 and something inmates this last year that we matrixed. That means we're releasing them, Lincoln County inmates, before they should be. And it's a very difficult situation for our supervisors to have to make a determination who is the best inmate to release back in the community that won't reoffend and get put back in jail. So if we're doing that with our beds, then obviously it means we can use 20 more beds for Lincoln County. So given this, I'm looking at this, obviously it's a hit to the budget, but I'm looking at it, you know, positively, and as hopefully we can use it for good for Lincoln County as we move forward. I've challenged the judges and our staff to come up with a way to use those beds better, I guess, instead of just throwing them back in the mix, because I'm afraid if we do that, with the current situation, we'll be right back to matrixing in a few months. So based on evidence-based programming or something else, practices that have proven to be successful, maybe there's an opportunity that we can use those 20 beds to release a better inmate to the community when they're out. So we're working on that now. As far as the other, those are the two that mainly affect the sheriff's office, and Janice can probably talk about the other ones better than I can.
Yeah, we've got a couple other things. A reduction in the general fund capital outlay appropriation for the year. We also have some room to reduce our workers' comp costs because we are self-insured for workers' compensation. We assess funds a percentage, and we would just reduce that percentage for this coming year. And we have already reduced it in the current year to begin making up for the anticipated revenue decrease. So, and then we'll make up the others items in reduction of a slight reduction in contingency funds, and that will about do it. This is a one-year fix that we're talking about now, and it just buys us a year to figure out a more permanent way to fund the complete jail activity minus this revenue, but without impacting, hopefully, other general fund activities. We're hopeful that we can mitigate that. We certainly can in this upcoming year, and then beyond that is a problem for next year.
I might just say I reached out to Annabelle Jaramillo, who's a commissioner in Denton County, and indicated that if that decision was made, if there was a way to phase it in over a year, that would make our life a little easier. So she understands our situation and is at least aware of that request. So I've got a question on another aspect of the budget. If there are no more questions on the jail situation.
I was just going to mention, if I may, the one cut that I'm glad that we're not proposing is to the newly the school resource officer with a partnership with the school
district. That's my question.
Oh, go ahead. You know, obviously, I knew that was a possibility, and in talking with Janice and our county council, that I don't know, those partnerships probably don't come along very often, and the school district is willing to contribute $45,000 to that program. I also think it's a very worthwhile program. It's something that I've never seen for the county outside the cities of Newport and Lincoln City and Toledo to have that program for our schools. And the schools that we have are the two Walport schools, and then Toledo High School's in our jurisdiction. This agreement would also take effect for the Toledo Elementary School, which is inside the city, but it would be one that we would cover. Most of our time is usually spent in the middle and high school for those type of programs. And I think it's something we really need to look at as far as when I proposed this to the county M team, and I knew, knowing, and you heard the budget, that we're not, even though things are really good, we're not progressing with our revenues as good as it would like. And so, you know, obviously I could use more patrol deputies at a lot of different places and corrections deputies for programming. But one thing that I think will have a big impact on it overall in the next few years as county school resource officer, try to break the cycle with our youth, is one thing that I think we need to do. And having a deputy in those schools, I think, is going to be very beneficial to it. The program works in other areas. Newport actually started the partnership with the school district last year and already seeing positive results within the city for their youth, and I think it's going to be very positive for our community to have that. Also, like I talked about being short on deputies, I think it's also another way to get the youth back involved in law enforcement, and you want them to get them interested in law enforcement, to see our deputies in there in a positive role and not just when something bad is happening. A lot of times time that they see a deputy is when something bad, either their parents are fighting or traffic stops or accidents, or it's usually bad when we show up. And to have somebody in a positive influence in the schools, I think, is very beneficial for them. So I'm glad to see what we're looking at even that position.
And I certainly agree and support that concept. I remember when I was on the school board, there were school resource officers, and they definitely have a positive impact and influence. And just to clarify, so this funding that the county's providing is partial funding. It's a partnership with a school district. They'll be providing funds. And then this officer basically would spend his time in the Walport schools and the Toledo schools.
Yeah, it's not an ideal situation for a school resource officer. We'd like to keep them in one local area,
sure.
But it's definitely better than what we currently have. And so they'll share their time between Toledo and the Walport schools. You know, based on just how it goes. I'm not sure how that will phase in. And it is $45,000 contribution from the school district. And the other thing it does is it does help during the summer times, spring break, times when our patrol deputies are very busy, this deputy will be able to come back and be able to work patrol shift also. So it does help us in those aspects of it. So it's during the busy times, we are needing a patrol deputy.
It's a good program. Glad to see it's still there.
Thank you.
Anything further on this topic?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
We'll open it up now for audience input or testimony.
I guess we should say that's actually for all of the budgets.
Yes.
And hearing none.
Hearing none. Other related business.
I think I'll just make an observation. The budget statement talks about a 7% increase in personnel services. I don't want the public to think that employees of the county got a 7% pay increase. It's very clear that if you look at the budget, the personnel services include a variety of costs, benefit costs in particular, that included in that figure. And also, the 7% increase includes the additional staff. So it's not comparing the same number of employees being paid a different amount. It's an additional number of staff, which would increase the cost, as well as higher costs of benefits and salaries. So just for the record.
Anything further? Thank you. We will continue this meeting to May 3rd, 2017, 6 p.m., Lincoln City, City Council Chambers in Lincoln City 1.